And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
Panarin and the Rangers get set for a move and Palat's off to a hot start on Long Island. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 17, Mailbag Edition. Nick Elberga, Jake Hahn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen with you. What's going on, Jake?
Great to be here, Nick. Happy Thursday to everybody out there, and happy maybe mini trade deadline coming up here, Nick. I know you're the big trade guy here. Islanders have been busy. Sounds like the Rangers got something percolating right now. Artemi Panarin not in the lineup, so could get some action before that trade freeze and before the Olympic break.
Happy vacation, Artemi Panarin, is the direction I would go, because he is sitting out waiting for a trade. I don't know when it's going to happen, but a lot of intriguing names and teams involved. The latest being San Jose, Jay. Can you believe that fit?
That one kind of caught me off guard a little bit. Not that I don't think it's a good fit, but just the team that, okay, we think is year two of a rebuild, Macklin Celebrini, they're going to stay patient with this thing. Meany, were you surprised to see San Jose's name out there? Now, it hasn't happened yet, and it's still sort of just speculation, but basically saying, you know, Panarin would be willing to sign an extension there. And if you're a San Jose, you know, you're not making this move as a rental. You'd be making this move to try to lock up Panarin for the next few years and see if you can complement Macklin Celebrini and really do something special.
Yeah, just hearing that he's open to signing an extension does make some of these teams like the San Jose Sharks, the Detroit Red Wings, the Buffalo Sabres in play, right? He's a rental, but he's unlikely to re-sign, say, in Colorado or in Dallas. But if you're bringing in a guy like Panarin, he's got a lot of experience. He has over 600 points in just over 480 games since he joined the Rangers in 2019. There's only five guys with more points than him over that span, and it's exactly who you would think it would be: McDavid, Draisaitl, McKinnon, Pastrnak, Kucherov. So he brings a lot of experience to a young team like the Sharks. I would love to see him in San Jose. And he's had a good season, too. It was a slow start, right, Nick? But a 12% shooting rate is his lowest mark since 2017 when he was with the Blue Jackets. I have this feeling the Buffalo Sabres are kind of feeling themselves right now, right? They're on this franchise run, 19-3-1. They haven't been buyers for a long time. They have a lot of picks. They have a lot of prospects. They're set up on the blue line. I wouldn't be shocked if they were aggressive at the deadline.
This extends to a mailbag question we had about where does Panarin land? And I like the Buffalo look quite a bit. I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Kings. I think there's the caveat in this whole scenario where he is looking for an extension. Who has the most cap space available to mankind with Anze Kopitar retiring? And that's the Los Angeles Kings. So they're going to be my pick. He has 57 points in 52 games, 34. Can certainly still hack it, but it sounds like he's looking for three or four years in this deal here, Jake.
I was going to say the LA Kings as well. So I'll pivot to my next one. I think LA is going to be a little bit more desperate in this. That's why I like what your pick here on this one, Nick, because look, their offense is so stale right now. They need some sort of help. I still think they feel like they can win the next few years. So if they can get Panarin to agree to an extension, I like that call. And again, I just go back to that desperation angle. I look at some of these other teams. They don't need to trade for Panarin. It's nice to add him. Minnesota's another team I got my eye on here. Meany, Bill Guerin, he's been very aggressive. Obviously gets the Kaprizov extension done at the start of the year, trades for Quinn Hughes. What's stopping him from just going for another big one and having the Russian connection with Panarin and Kaprizov on the same team? So they would probably be my second team to keep an eye on. But again, like I said, they don't need to trade for Panarin. Whereas what Nick and I said about LA, it feels like they're the more desperate of these teams, and they could certainly use an ejection in that offense.
There's no question the Kings desperately need him. They need something in that top six, like Rock and Corey Perry on the first line. What year is it, right? The Kings need something to help them offensively. What about the Hurricanes? They've been aggressive over the past couple of years. They tried Jake Guentzel, didn't work out. They tried Mikko Rantanen, had to flip him for Logan Stankoven. And this makes me wonder about Trocheck's value moving forward as well, Nick. I have a lot of Trocheck shares in fantasy. He's going to be without his top winger, Artemi Panarin, for the rest of the way. I know that he wins faceoffs. He blocks shots. He's going to get a lot of ice time. But I have some concerns about the value of Trocheck moving forward, and I think he's on the table as well for one of those teams we're discussing.
It's hilarious. Every time a big name is available, Carolina is intertwined in that conversation. Always stems to the convo. Does he want to re-sign in Carolina? I mean, to your point, I think Trocheck would make a lot of sense to go back there. I think St. Louis would be the team I would watch with Carolina. I think they're a really good trade fit. Doug Armstrong, we think, is going to be active. What if they look at a Kyrou or a Thomas, like Justin Falk? Maybe he goes back there. I think they're suitable pieces here.
Well, and a couple of things we've learned about Eric Tulsky, or one thing we've learned about Eric Tulsky since he's taken over as general manager, is this guy is not afraid to take a big swing. He's not afraid to be aggressive. I thought this guy's just going to be the numbers guy, you know, play it safe, whatever it might be. And he certainly is that. Like, he's smart with the numbers. That's why they brought him in. But he's been very aggressive. And some have worked and some haven't in Carolina. And Meany, you have to think the Canes see this as a great opportunity here. Look at who's second and third in the Metro right now. No offense to those teams. Great stories. But Carolina has to feel like, hey, we've been here, we're the team that should be here, and we got a nice pretty easy path to a possible conference final. Sure, you'll have to face a really good team, maybe the Tampa Bay Lightning, someone like that, but I think the Canes have to look at this as a major opportunity to go to a Stanley Cup final this year, and I wouldn't be shocked, Meany, if Eric Tulsky gets very aggressive before the deadline.
I couldn't agree more. This is their window to win. They've been knocking on the door over the past couple of years. The goals have dried up offensively for them. It looks like they have something in Bussey at the moment, so maybe he can go on a bit of a run. You're right about the Metro. There's teams that we thought would be hanging around that are not Washington, New Jersey. The Pittsburgh Penguins are in second place, right? Like, the Hurricanes should, you're right, the path is good. They should go to the Eastern Conference Finals, and there's a lot of question marks in the Atlantic. There's a lot of good teams playing, Nick, in the Atlantic, but none of these teams really have playoff experience. We talked about in our chat, new blood in the playoffs potentially this year. So if I'm the Hurricanes, I'm going to be ultra aggressive, whether that means Panarin's going to sign an extension or not. But I think the biggest need for them is a second line center. I've been saying it for years.
Hashtag new blood. And I think this is actually good news for the New York Rangers. If the Panarin camp can work out a contract extension, they probably get more in a potential deal. But I'll tell you, Carolina missed out on the biggest fish, and his name is Andre Palat. What a debut here for the New York Islanders. And I looked over at Yahoo, 0% ownership, and a couple people have asked here in the mailbag, is he worth a flyer? Do I put him on my watch list? What do I do with Andre Palat? I mean, it's rejuvenated him for sure through one game, one goal, one assist, one power play point, two shots on goal, played 11:53, playing the Rangers again here. So easy money probably for the Islanders to return serve and continue to win and beat the Rangers again. But Palat's got a favorable line assignment here, Jake. He is on the top line with Horvat and Heinemann. I think the unfortunate part right now, not playing on the power play, but I see some sneaky appeal right now in Andre Palat, who hasn't been fantasy relevant in about 5 years here.
0%. Not even the Palat family has him on a roster. And it, like, any brothers or sisters or anything like that got him on a team. Like, that's rough. And look, it just goes to show where he was. And he did have zero fantasy appeal before this trade. And kind of an under-the-radar type move here. Okay, goes to Long Island. I'm thinking probably a depth piece. And that's most likely moving forward what he's going to be. But Meany, he's getting a look on the top line. And we do see teams do this with players that they trade for. Oftentimes, you bring a guy in, you say, okay, let's just give him a really good assignment, see what he can do out of the gate. And that's what they're doing with Palat. He's a veteran guy. He's played with talented players before. And that's how the Islanders are at least choosing to use him through one game. Instant success, scores the goal. Maybe the confidence goes up. So I would say in a very deep league means, I would certainly give him a look with this kind of line assignment.
Extremely deep, let's be honest.
Come very on. Deep.
He played on a line with Jack Hughes and Jesper Bratt for a majority of the last three or four seasons and couldn't be fantasy relevant. So there's times where he's going to show up. He's going to have three or four hits, a couple shots, but Nick, you mentioned it, not getting any power play time. It's nice that he's playing with Bo Horvat and Emil Heinemann, who, you know, has been pointless, I think, in 11 of his last 13 games. So there's really not a whole lot to get excited about. But with a trade like this, we've already seen the boost. So you take a look at him in the prop market. He's plus 425 to score tonight against the Rangers in the second half of a back-to-back, a team that's dead, and also 25-1 to score the first goal tonight. So, like, take some shots there, but I'm not even thinking about picking him up in fantasy.
That's fair. I like your blunt breakdown there. And of course, the Matthew Darche connection from his days with Tampa. Palat, very successful in a sign with Tampa. And we'll just chalk it up. It just didn't work in New Jersey. And it was pretty wild earlier this week that the Isles make deals with both the Rangers and the New Jersey Devils. And speaking of the Devils, I looped them in a conversation with the Maple Leafs where they're going to be sellers, which I think is really intriguing. Then I look at the two rosters. I'm like, who are they selling? For New Jersey, I think the fact that Luke Hughes is hurt, I don't know what that means for Dougie Hamilton, but he's quietly starting to produce here, guys. 12 points in the last 12 games. The other name I would look at is Evgeny Dadonov. I'm just talking pure rentals. And from the Maple Leafs perspective here, Jake, Bob McMahon, I think, could be that Swiss Army knife for any team in this league. The Arturi Lehkonen, the Barbashev type look, where he can play on your first line, he can play on your third line, he's got speed, he can finish. But it's that outside-the-box thinking as a fantasy owner that can put you over the top, ultimately, if you can snatch some of these guys up.
Well, I think Bobby McMahon would be an interesting one for me to kind of scoop up if I'm in a relatively deep league. Doesn't have to be that deep of a league because it could go a couple different ways. The Leafs trade him. I've heard Edmonton's name floated out there as a possible fit. I like that fit, the speed that McMahon can play with. I think he could play with a Draisaitl or a McDavid if they wanted to go down that route. It does feel like the Oilers have figured out their lines a little bit, but I could see him fitting in Edmonton really well or another contending spot. And if the Leafs don't trade him, I still think he's got some fantasy value down the stretch. He's been playing on the top line with Austin Matthews, getting a little bit more power play time. So Bobby McMahon is certainly one I'm looking at. And Meany, I can't believe we're talking about teams like this. You know, even Ottawa, well out of a playoff spot now at this point. They did get the big win on Wednesday night against the Colorado Avalanche. Maybe that puts them in the right direction, but starting to get worried about teams like New Jersey, teams like Washington as well. What has happened with the Washington Capitals over the last month? All of a sudden, they look like a non-playoff team as well.
Absolutely. And looking at the Capitals numbers over the past couple of days, trying to figure this thing out, I know they're kind of thin down the middle of the ice. I know Pierre-Luc Dubois, I know he's skating, but I'm not sure when he's going to return. But he had a great season for them last year. This is part of their resurgence. Some of the players they picked up, like him and Chychrun, they had great seasons. But, you know, the number one goalie in goals saved above expected is Logan Thompson. So it's not on him. He's been great, but the offense has certainly dried up. Nick, you're probably spot on. Regression there. Shout out to Dougie Hamilton. You mentioned him, a 9-game point streak. He's minus 120 for a point. I think the Devils may actually be buyers. I don't know if they should be, but they've been trying to move Palat for a couple years. There's a lot of guys on their team with no trade clauses. They tried to get Quinn Hughes. They've tried to make some other moves. Moving guys that just were not going to waive that no trade clause. So I don't know. I could see them being aggressive. As for the Leafs, they certainly need to sell. When you look at this year's draft, they have one pick in the first four rounds. They don't have a first this year. They don't have a first next year. So Bobby McMahon is a guy that is available in fantasy hockey leagues. He can shoot the puck. He can rip it. He can skate. And I wouldn't be shocked if he moved on a team where he was in a top six role, second power play opportunity. So I think he's a good buy.
Personally, I think a lot of these teams are in denial. Like, I'm watching a broadcast last night, and Ottawa beats Colorado, and it's like they've won the Stanley Cup, and they're going to the playoffs. Last time I checked, they had the same points in the standings as the Maple Leafs. Both teams are missing. Washington's missing. Florida, I think Florida's in trouble. They're 6 points back. They're not playing well. Big loss to Utah in regulation without Dylan Gunther. Got some questions here about Matthew Tkachuk. I know he's had a turbulent start fantasy-wise. I would give that time. But I think a lot of teams are in trouble right now, Jake.
Well, for the first time maybe all year, we've actually seen some separation between the playoff teams and the non-playoff teams in the Eastern Conference, because all these teams keep losing below the line, and teams like Boston, teams like Montreal, teams like Buffalo, they keep winning. So we thought this was just going to be right to the end. It's going to be 1 or 2 points. All of a sudden, you look at it and you go, man, there's 5 or 6 points separating these teams from the playoffs, and I think some of them do have to be realistic. I do like what Meany said. Even at like a team like New Jersey, when we're talking buying and selling, sure, you could sell off some small pieces like Palat, but New Jersey's not tearing this thing down. They're not giving up. They still have Jack Hughes, all these top players. They want to be good next year, so you could even buy some pieces looking ahead a little bit more towards the future and not necessarily be that full seller. So there's different versions of all these teams, but your point is well made, Nick, and I do feel like for the first time, Meany, in a long time, we have seen separation in the Eastern Conference, and the playoff teams are taking shape. Maybe one of these teams from the bottom makes a push like a Florida Panthers, but it's hard to get excited about many of them right now.
Well, Nick's right about teams and us watching, and we feel like New Jersey should sell, Toronto should sell. I think it's tougher maybe to make a run in the Atlantic with all these teams. So I feel like one of those teams like Detroit, Montreal, maybe Boston, Buffalo are going to be aggressive. But when I look at the Metro, we talked about it when we opened up the show and we talked about Panarin. Like, this is kind of wide open. Like, the Penguins are sitting there in second with 63 points, and the Islanders 63 points. The Devils do have 56 points. They're near the basement in that division, but a 4 or 5 game winning streak puts them right back into the conversation, and they have been without some of their big time players this season. So I just don't feel like they're ready to pack it in. I think this is move one. They got the contract off the books, and I think that, you know, they could be aggressive. And Nick, what about the Jets? I know that they've had a rough year as well, but all of a sudden I look at their last 10 games and they've won 6 games. They're 6-2-2 in their last 10. They're 8 points back, but they're 8 back of the Sharks. Like, this is a team with Hellebuck after the break, could go on a 4 or 5 game winning streak. Maybe they add inside their top 6. I wouldn't be shocked if they were aggressive either.
I appreciate your optimism. I get your point when it comes to the Metro. I think there's a pathway there for the Devils. I think it becomes much harder for those Atlantic Division teams because there's so much depth there. But well received. I think there's going to be one team, guys, that surprise people and go on this crazy, crazy Florida Panthers-esque run where they maybe are 8-10 points out right now and find themselves in. And there are a couple teams where you wonder about the staying power of that conversation too as well, Jake.
Well, and we did get some more questions too in the mailbag edition of the show about Nazem Kadri. I think Kadri is a really interesting piece here, guys. We talk about Artemi Panarin and just, you know, rumblings about, look, we've been talking Kadri going back to last year, but Calgary had a decent season last year. They were in a playoff conversation, so didn't end up moving him. And I think it's a movable deal, a guy that has had certainly a lot of playoff success in the past as well. And we got some mailbag questions about whether people should hold Kadri. I think certainly you do, Nick, because at some point he's probably going to get dealt here. I would say very likely before the trade deadline. Could find himself in a very, very nice spot. Certainly a better spot than he has in Calgary right now. So I would say to Kadri owners, stay patient, wait to see where he goes before the trade deadline.
And if you don't own Nazem Kadri, I'd look to buy right now. I think he's going to go. I think there are so many teams who view themselves as perennial contenders. If they grab that top six center with experience, he's won a Stanley Cup, he's 35, he's got a great beard in the playoffs. Like, all the boxes checked for Nazem Kadri. He looks like a playoff guy. And I honestly think means this could come down to an arms race in the Central, whether it's going back to Colorado, Minnesota. How about the Dallas Stars? I'm very curious to see who steps up, makes this deal. I guess you could include Carolina again.
I suppose. So. Yeah. That's a team that really needs a second line center rather than the other teams that you mentioned. But yeah, Kadri's certainly interesting. I did see a question about holding him in an 8 team. That's probably a player, you know, if I'm not playing with shots and faceoff wins. He has 4 points in his last 17 games. But your guys' point stands true. I mean, he's a buy low candidate. The one thing I wonder, Nick, about Kadri is, you know, he's not a rental, right? There's some term there. So you're not just getting him. You have to make sure that your books are in order for the next couple of seasons to get a guy like Kadri. But if we're ranking players that are available, he's got to be up near the top given what he can do. And, you know, he's won a cup and he's had some great, great experience in the playoffs.
Time flying. The guy's 35. I think people have this idea in their minds that they're acquiring or looking to acquire a 28-year-old Nazem Kadri. He's 35, but still, I think he can put a team over the top. I want to summon Pete Jensen for this next question because somebody wrote in, Thatcher Demko, ... It's a fair question. I think the one team that's not in denial, Pete, is the Vancouver Canucks. They are going scorched earth of this thing. They might win 3 more games between now and the end of the regular season, and that's fine. They're probably going to get a first, second, or third overall pick, and they're going to feel much better about themselves. But Thatcher Demko, Pete, cannot stay in that crease. Hip surgery again. Are we at a point where we're just dropping this guy regardless of the type of league format?
Yeah, you have to drop him at this point. It's unfortunate because he is arguably a top 10 goalie when he's healthy, but even in keeper leagues, right? Like, there's just not much value there. It's a skeleton crew around him, and there may still be more moves. I think that DeBrusque, I was talking about it a couple weeks ago. I mean, he has one of the best contracts out there, I think, and he's got some term and very low AAV. I would love to see DeBrusque on a team like the Islanders or one of these other teams that maybe needs a power play boost. So, you know, again, I'm out on Demko for now. Hopefully he comes back healthy next season and turns it around. But I'm looking at some of these other pieces on Vancouver. We already saw them trade Sherwood. I think they might trade DeBrusque as well.
I'd be very worried for Thatcher Demko moving forward. And like, obviously he's done for this year, no more rostering him in fantasy hockey, but I'd be very concerned about the future of Thatcher Demko. Unfortunately, you go through so many injuries, Nick, and a hip injury like this, surgery. I'm concerned if we could see him come back next year and be the same goaltender or be the same goaltender ever. I'm rooting for him. Don't want to give up on the guy, but tough to see that news for a guy that's dealt with so much. And there's no doubt Vancouver's going to sell whoever they can. The for sale sign is very much on the lawn. Still confused why they gave Brock Besser that deal in the offseason, but they thought they were going to be a playoff team. I guess I get it from that standpoint. So Pete makes a good point here. A lot of interesting options for the Canucks to sell before the deadline.
The Canucks are so interesting because of some of the moves that they've made over the past couple of years, including signing and extending Thatcher Demko. And Pete's right. When he's healthy, he's one of the best goalies in the NHL, but unfortunately, we haven't seen it in quite some time. And I think in the betting market and fantasy market, when you're looking to stream some players, you need to have the Canucks on your radar. They've allowed the most goals, the fourth most shots. They have the worst penalty kill in the NHL. They're 14-2 over their last 18 games, so they've extremely struggled. Back to the mailbag, a question about Matthew Tkachuk, and I think we're all wondering about the Panthers. What's going to happen here with Florida? Are they actually going to go on a bit of a run? What do I do with Matthew Tkachuk? I'll say you've waited this long for him to be in your lineup. I think you just have to be patient. You know, there's a couple more games here before the break. I know there's a lot of Panther players going to the Olympics, but I think after the break, as long as they're healthy, I think some of these guys that you expect to be good will be good down the stretch. I'm still not ready to count out the Panthers, guys.
Yeah, that's fair. He's so good in a bangers league too, right, Jake? Like, there's just so much category coverage when he's on his game. Maybe he's inspired by the Olympics too, after post-Olympics. I think you can't discount that either, with a bunch of players maybe struggling right now, and then they come back after a three-week break and they look rejuvenated. The one guy specifically I'm looking at is, it's a good time to buy, is Matthew Nyes. He's got a lower body injury, we'll say, and I think he needs some time to heal. Maybe a couple cocktails on the beach, comes back, rips it up to wrap up the regular season. So I think that's where your mind has to be as a fantasy owner. But I still look back to Florida. Jake, at some point in time, they have to hit a wall. And I wonder, in this season, famous last words, if they run out of racetrack.
Combination of a lot of things. Panthers have played a lot of hockey. Two of their best players injured. Now Matt Tkachuk is back, and like Meany said, we're getting some questions about Tkachuk. Impatient owners because they waited so long, and now they're getting them, and they're not really getting the production. And goaltending. Bobrovsky just hasn't been good this year. If you're a Bobrovsky owner, you haven't really loved what he's put up. All of a sudden, Tarasov's giving them a better chance to win games at the moment. So you talk about getting the break, Nick. Bobrovsky's a guy that maybe needs that break as well, and he is going to get it in February. Meany, I'm not worried about Tkachuk. I think a lot of these guys are kind of focused on the Olympics right now. Tkachuk probably one of them. Even Nathan MacKinnon in the Colorado Avalanche right now kind of feels like they've got one foot on that plane going to the Olympics. And, you know, I don't want to say they're checked out, but I think they're maybe bored by the NHL regular season at this point. Tkachuk is someone I want to attack in the prop market here moving forward, because I think we're going to get some really good value on the shots on goal, the point props, just because the production hasn't been there so far.
Don't worry, Jake. We have a segment just completely for props and bets. That's coming up on The Money, brought to you by Bet365. Some of the injuries here means Dylan Gunther, day-to-day lower body injury. In the meantime, if he can't play, Lawson Crouse on the top line, so I'd look at him. UPL goes down for Buffalo. Bye-bye-bye on Alex Lyon. The guy's been on fire. Pete talked about it for the last month, it seems. Very low percentage in terms of deployment right now in fantasy hockey, which is weird. Pick the guy up if you need saves. He's money in the bank right now. Elias Lindholm goes down for Boston. Fraser Minton's been on fire for the Bruins. I'd look at him. The Vancouver injuries are tricky. I don't know if I'm going internal with some of the pickups there, but Zeev Bouyam on the IR. Philip Hronek's a guy I'd look at. And then we got a couple injuries in St. Louis, means with Kyrou and Neighbors. I don't see a lot of appeal right now, at least in the Blues fantasy-wise. But that's a team, again, I think I expect them to be active over the next month or so.
What a disaster in St. Louis. Like, everything you could imagine has gone wrong for them, and they're not getting the goaltending. They went about their top center, and Thomas Kyrou's been in and out of the lineup, setback for Holloway. Yeah, it's a rough go in St. Louis. I could see them, you know, shipping off a couple players, but there's a lot of players on their team that are under contract. There's a lot of questions here about goalies. You mentioned Lyon. Like, this guy's ownership is criminally low. He needs to be picked up, especially with UPL, you know, sidelined for the next little bit. This run that Buffalo's on, I mean, you just continue to ride this thing out. I think Bobrovsky's a good buy low candidate. It's tough to buy goalies. We've been talking about them all year. Yeah. It's like, who do I buy? These are the questions. What about Aiden Hill, Jake? You know, 17 goals this guy's allowed in four games.
That's great.
It's bad, man. But it's still Vegas. We like this team overall. There's a lot of hockey in the second half here after the break. So I think, like, rocking him and Schmid, I think they can go back and forth. But, like, man, it's been a rough go. I feel like you could buy him because I'm seeing his ownership. He's one of the most draw players today.
Well, look, I think if you're struggling for saves still at this time of the year, why not roll the dice and take a shot? Like, he might just be that bad the rest of the year, and you take the shot, it doesn't work. But what are you working with right now if you're entertaining that conversation, right? You might as well go out there and take a swing on one of these guys with the high upside. That's what I'm playing for, right? Hill comes back from the break. He looks like Aiden Hill, winning a bunch of games, and you get that upside. And Nick, same thing with Sergei Bobrovsky. As we're down on him right now and he's had a rough year, he's going to get basically the whole month of February off, comes back fresh. You know, his mindset's going to be on getting the Panthers into the playoffs, playing that kind of hockey that we know he's capable of playing. Always willing to buy in on the upside potential for some of these guys, Pete.
the goalie market in fantasy trades is so out of whack, right? Like, we got a question asking about John Gibson. Should I sell high on John Gibson? He's 17-3 in his past 20 games. I mean, this is 2 shutouts, 930. He's looking like a top 10 goalie in fantasy, but I would probably sell high on him. Quit while you're ahead. It's a rejuvenated player that is finally staying healthy, but has had quite an injury history, right, in his career.
Yes, he's in a select elite company for me in fantasy hockey. If you can get this type of value, you're never going to get more value, and he's always hurt, okay? It's great news for Wings fans. He's playing well right now. Do I believe in John Gibson? I do not, in terms of staying healthy. He's having a great year, but I think if you find the value, you make the trade right now. Anyways, we're going to take a break. Lots more coming your way on the other side. We'll get to On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. For now, a look at NHL Fantasy Stars with Petey and Means.
Petey, 15 games on the ice tonight. Tell the people who you're rocking in your Fantasy Stars lineup.
My lineup is heavy on the Dallas Stars. I got Jason Robertson, Miro Haskinen, and Wyatt Johnston. My lineup lock is Jack Eichel. I have him on the purple card, so he's been awesome. Will Smith, tagging shotgun with Celebrini. He's a lineup lock whenever he plays. And then Darren Radish is a guy in Fantasy Stars. You could still sometimes pick him up and buy him for 300 coins. He's been one of the top 10 defensemen in the entire NHL, playing alongside Nikita Kucherov on the power play.
A purple Eichel. Petey's living the dream here in Fantasy Stars. You know, you bring up a good point on just the open market. I love buying packs and seeing what players I can get in a pack. But you mentioned Radish, $300 in the open market. You can actually get Jacob Trickren as well for $300 in the open market. He's top 5 in the NHL in shot attempts. Not among defensemen, among everybody in the NHL. So buy some packs, have some fun. You can take a look at the Islanders team goalie as well, Pete. Sorokin in the second half of a back-to-back against the Rangers with no Artemi Panarin in the lineup. And Sorokin, I mean, he's among the leaders in shutouts over the past few years since he's entered the league. So take a look at some of those players that you can buy in the open market for cheap coins.
And there's only one game on Friday, so buy into the Columbus Blue Jackets instead of rolling the dice with a pick. Try to go out there, buy Charlie Coyle, buy, you know, one of these other guys that are thriving, Kent Johnson, under new coach Rick Bonus.
Check out our must-starts, under-the-radar plays, team goalies to play at nhl.com/fantasy. Download the NHL Fantasy Stars app today and build your daily lineup and watch those points pile up.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen with you. Listen up, hockey fans. You won't want to miss this. Experience the thrill of NHL betting with Bet365, an official league partner. With Bet365, you can create your own bets, build same-game parlays, and take advantage of early payouts when your team goes up 3 goals. Bet on every exciting moment on the ice, from goals and points to shots and saves. Bet on the NHL with Bet365 and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365, an official betting partner of the NHL. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. So, Jake, before we popped on here, producer Bobby doesn't want to talk here on the podcast in 2026, but he's feeling the Montreal Canadiens, which I think is a legitimate shot tonight. You talked about Colorado being sort of bored. How do you feel about that play, Jake?
I actually do like that play. Good spot play, Colorado, second half of a back-to-back. And they do kind of, they had 18 shots on goal against Ottawa on Wednesday. When did we ever see that from Colorado? So I don't think they're fully checked out, but I think a lot of their guys are looking towards the Olympics, maybe some looking towards a little bit of a break. And look, last time producer Bobby spoke on this show, true, he mentioned Buffalo to make the playoffs at a big number. So maybe he should speak more often and give us some of that wisdom. And that Buffalo pick's looking pretty darn good. And they're at home to the LA Kings tonight. Another spot I kind of like. Kings on the road here. They did get the win against Detroit a couple nights ago, but they're not really inspiring a ton of confidence in me. I'm just going to keep riding the Buffalo Sabres. And Meany, I don't know if you've noticed, but the New York Rangers are really bad this year, and they're playing the New York Islanders again tonight. Second half of a back-to-back, the home and home. Ilya Sorokin's going to get this one for the Islanders. He's been fantastic this year. I'm willing to lay a little bit of chalk with the Isles on the road, maybe even play the puck line in this one. I just think they're the better team right now. I don't care. Beating a same team twice, that whole narrative. Give me the Islanders to run it back again on Thursday night.
Yeah, there's no reason not to be in on the Islanders, to your point, right? Sorokin's going to play tonight. We know that the Rangers are checked out. Panarin's not going to play. They haven't been great in back-to-backs. They actually don't have a win this season in back-to-back games, which is remarkable, and they've been awful at home. So
wow.
I'm certainly in on the Islanders. The Sabres as well, I'm with you guys on that one. Minus 125 at home against the Kings. How about the Bruins on the money line? A little bit of juice there, but the Flyers played last night, and Boston's been one of the best teams games on home ice this season as well. And I like the Ducks on the road against the Canucks. We were talking about the Canucks' struggles offensively and defensively over the past little bit. And Nick, just wanted to bring up the Sens. I know a lot of people are like, wow, the Avs, and they didn't, you know, have any chances last night. When I look at Ottawa, they have the lowest expected goals rate in the league at 5-5. They've allowed the second fewest high danger chances, the third fewest scoring chances. This team cannot buy a save. They're second in the NHL in offensive zone time, looking at some of the edge stats. They've actually had a pretty good season, 5-5, but they just don't have any goaltending, which is, you know, pretty shocking.
Yeah, that's my mistake. The analytics community has been saying that for the last 2 months on Ottawa, but last time I checked, goaltending is part of a team. You can't get a save, you're not winning games, so I don't care what your numbers look like. Not to dispel what you're saying, but I get that.
No, for sure.
I think that's such a great point, Ottawa, where this team is because of the numbers you just talked about, if they can get a save, but they can't, so I can't believe on them. And I would think they continue to run Sogard and Reimer with Linus Allmark, your boy, just sitting on the bench with a baseball cap. That's curious for me, too. Looking at tonight's slate a bit more, appointment viewing, I would say Celebrini against McDavid. Maybe they play together at the Olympics, but I'm looking at the over in that game. Maybe look at Jake Walman to get a potential point, get some shots on goal there. And why not a Matthew Tkachuk anytime goal? He hasn't scored this year. Florida's on the road in St. Louis. He's from St. Louis. I love that narrative. So I'm going to play Matthew Tkachuk, Jake, tonight to score.
I like it as well. Like I mentioned before, I'm going to keep an eye on his props here. You mentioned him to score maybe 2 points at some point as well. He's a guy that can rack it up when he gets going, and I think we're getting a good value, Meany. And that's been a market I've loved. You know, obviously, I've mentioned guys like Kucherov, McDavid in the past, McKinnon. A little chalky to take 2 points for those guys, but I like to look for the value. You know, even Celebrini the other night, plus money for 2 points against the Vancouver Canucks. He's plus money again tonight against the Edmonton Oilers. I think pretty good value there. A guy like Beckett Seneca, plus 290 for 2 points against the Vancouver Canucks, who can't stop anybody right now, and Seneca has been an absolute monster. So I would suggest looking into that market. You could get some really big numbers and, you know, target a team maybe with a bad goaltender, bad defense. Seneca is a number that really jumps out to me for 2 points tonight. Means.
Yeah, the Canucks check those boxes. So I got Cutter Gauthier as an anytime goal scorer or a goal chase. The goal chase challenge is really fun, right? It's you're trying to build the biggest streak that you can. So I'm rocking Cutter Gauthier. I think Tage Thompson, Matt Boldy, and Will Smith is in play as well. He's around minus 135 for a point. Love the over there. That's a good call, Nick, between the Sharks and the Oilers. And Smith has 7 points in his past 5 games. And then the Kraken. This Leafs team they're struggling, right? They've been struggling on the road. They've allowed the most 5-5 goals, the most shots. They're dead last in offensive zone time. They live in their own end. Matty Beniers and Jared McCann are both minus 130 for a point. You have Beniers on a 4-game point streak. McCann has 18 points in his last 6. He can even include Jordan Eberle if you want to do a same game parlay with that line. Eberle has 8 points in his past 9 games, and Matty Beniers 24 points in 27 home games. So he's cooking in Seattle.
I always like to look at the past. The Maple Leafs 7-1-1 all time against the Seattle Kraken. So be mindful of that as you get set to bet on that game. As we send things over to PD Props.
Yeah. So my goal chase pick tonight is Celebrini against McDavid and the Oilers. You could actually get couple good numbers on Celebrini, even though he's been so elite all year. Plus 140 anytime goal against the leaky Oilers. Plus 140 for 2+ points against Edmonton as well. The number on Palat to score an anytime goal. Second of a back-to-back. Good spot. Good lineup placement against the battered Rangers without Panarin. Plus 450. I like that. And also Dahlin coming off the best game of his career. 5 points. He's got 10 shots in his past 2 games. You could still get plus money on Dahlin, who's in the zone right now, to have 3+ shots on goal, plus 110. So I like that as well.
Oh, it's so hard on Palat. It's hard not to sprinkle 25-1 for him to score the first goal tonight. Guys, what about like a hat trick? I mean, you guys seeing the hat tricks here? I mentioned on Monday it was crazy, like 24 hat tricks in the first 25 games. What do we got here? 29 hat tricks? This month, the most all-time in the NHL, actually, I think it may be tied. Yeah, it's tied for the most hat tricks in a calendar month, 29. We're here through 28 days. Like, let's take a shot here. Jake, who scores a hat trick tonight? Do we go to Anaheim? Is it Cutter Gauthier? Is it Beckett Seneca? Mikael Granlund just had a hattie, too.
Yeah, someone against the Canucks is probably the play, right? Or maybe the Rangers, maybe Palat. Maybe Palat gets the hat trick. I like Seneca. You mentioned Gauthier as well. How about this for a hat trick? I'll take a little bit of a shot here. Gino Malkin against the Chicago Blackhawks. Malkin's been firing the puck, guys. We thought maybe this would slow down. He did get hurt for a little while. He's back. He's producing. He's firing the puck. I like him for 3 shots tonight, Nick. I think it's plus 135, the number at Bet365. I like that. Maybe you play him for 2 points, or heck, maybe we play the hat trick. 15 games tonight, there's got to be at least one hat trick on the card.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty fun bet. Will there be a hat trick on tonight's card? But certainly 30 teams in action. Also looking forward to the weekend, the stadium series. You got Tampa hosting Boston. There's whispers out there that Victor Hedman has not ruled out that game. So maybe a potential return here, Jake, for Victor Hedman over the weekend in the stadium series game.
Would love to see Hedman get back in there. You know, he wants to get going here before the Olympics, yeah. And that would be a big spot to come in. I saw the design that they're doing for the stadium series. It looks cool. I like a good pirate theme, and they got the pirate chips at Raymond James Stadium for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't know if they're going to be firing the cannons like they do in Columbus, a version of that with the pirate ships going off. I know they do that for Buccaneers games. The design looks really cool, so I'm excited to sit back on Sunday and watch that game.
It's a nice backdrop, and we better get some cannons. That's for sure. Yeah. I like the Bruins here, guys. Like they're going to be dogs. They've won 9 of their last 11. Pastrnak has been unbelievable. I don't think people talk about him enough. He's got an 8-game point streak with 14 points, and you know, he had a game with 6 assists, so I'm taking a look at Pasta. Now that Geeky's back playing with Pasta at 5-5, he's starting to score a little bit more, so I'd take a look at those two guys.
Okay, gents, great stuff. We'll reconvene coming up on Monday, Week 18 Waiver Wire Edition. Don't forget, it's an extended week as well, just 3 days of games and the Olympic break, and then we come back with a flurry of games after that, so stay tuned for that. Thank you to producer Bob Bender. For Jay Kahn, Chris Meaney, and Pete Jensen, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Take care.